Chapter 2. The Reckoning. When Jenny had returned home for Christmas, she had disappeared from the train station only to reappear with a small herd of dark wizards trailing her like overgrown ducklings. The fact that she was actually dating one of them, and that it was no less a personage than Draco Malfoy himself, had been enough to send Ron into fits. That's why, when time came near for Jenny to come home when her last year ended, Ron persuaded Harry to convince the adults that it wasn't safe and that the students should remain at Hogwarts until the danger passed. Of course, this might inconvenience a lot of the others, but Ron was sure they'd understand if they knew the full horror of the situation and the utter necessity of keeping Jenny away from the evil ferret, who probably had nefarious designs on her chastity. Harry hadn't seemed fully convinced by the logic of this argument, but he'd come around quickly when Ron had further pointed out that it was likely Theo Knott would also be following Jenny around, and highly probable that the boy would once again steal all the coffee and leave none for Harry. It was all working perfectly until Harry had to go and screw it all up by killing Voldemort at the end of July, thus removing the clear and present danger as well as the reason for the students to remain sequestered at Hogwarts. Ron stood now at the train station, trying to ignore the way the crowds of anxious and excited parents amplified the muggy August heat. He didn't quite have a plan, but he was hoping to find Ginny before anyone else did, and he'd come up with a plan very quickly at that point. In this, he was doomed to failure as he spotted Ginny's distinctive hair moving off the train, followed closely by the equally noticeable Malfoy blonde. The two heads could be seen moving through the crowds, four or more heads of varied brunette shades following. All too soon, the heads became whole bodies of Ginny and the ferret, and she did not look happy. "Hey, Jen," he said with a big fake grin. "It's so good to see you. I've got a surprise for you back at the house, and look! There's Harry! Harry!" Ginny plastered a pleasant smile on her face and waited until Harry was near before she spoke. Ron had a brief moment of hope, but it crashed and burned as she said, "Good. Both of the condemned are here to face judgment." Harry froze as Ginny pointed her wand at him and murmured something inaudible. A quick mental inventory showed all his body parts as seeming attached, and no insane bat bogeys flying around. Remorselessly, he left Ron to his fate as he muttered about having to find someone and scurried away. "What did you do to him?" Ron asked fearfully. "Not a lot, since I recognize his main fault is listening to an idiot like you. I just made it so that from now on, all the coffee he drinks turns to decaf. Instant decaf." There was a gasp from behind her, and Ron looked to see that Theo had turned pale and was swaying as if about to faint. Ginny ignored him, and soon Ron's eyes were dragged back to her still form. Just as his nerves were about to snap from the strain, Ginny said, "Do you know where Draco was while I was in school?" Ron shook his head. It hadn't even occurred to him to wonder. Ginny went on, "He was in Hogsmeade. Mr. Honeyduke thought it was a bit weird for someone to want to lease his basement, but Draco offered so much money that he didn't really care how weird it was." There was something about Mr. Honeyduke he should remember, as it might explain the way his stomach was twisting. For a minute, all Ron could think of were sugar quills, and then he remembered third year, and where in Hogsmeade Harry could come out of the secret tunnel. "Oh, no!" "Oh, yes," said Ginny grimly. "We've been shagging constantly without anything interfering except classes. I passed a residency due to Draco quizzing me and granting sexual favors when I mastered the formulas." "Oh, God." Ron was going to throw up, and he looked around desperately for escape. Ginny nodded slightly, and Ron found all avenues of escape blocked by her cadre of former Death Eaters. "After the actual classes ended, the boy simply moved into the castle. Draco and I ended up living together practically like we were married." Clutching his stomach, Ron moaned piteously, but she wasn't done. "It was good practice." Holding up her hand, she showed off the engagement ring she was wearing, the diamond easily three times the size of any Ron had ever seen. I'm pretty sure that the contraceptive spells help, but if not, the wedding may end up happening very quickly. Ron broke completely, and another nod from Ginny opened a route for him to stumble away. After he had dropped from sight, Draco kissed Ginny lingeringly. I love it when you're evil. I know, she said with a grin. She turned to walk away, then paused to pat Theo on the shoulders. Don't worry, I won't take away your coffee. Just don't let Harry touch any of yours, or you'll be fine. Ignoring his whimper, Ginny straightened and sailed through the crowded station, her minions keeping a circle of space open around her. That had all been rather fun, but the crowning touch of her revenge for keeping her at Hogwarts was going to come when she announced at dinner that night that she was moving into a flat off Diagon Alley and all five boys were going to live with her. Only she and Draco would share a room, but the faces of the rest of her family would be priceless. It was kind of funny how constant exposure to her had made the boys a bit nicer, but had made her a lot more wicked. The end.